What's up, guys? I hope you had an excellent weekend so far. I'm actually proud of myself because I have already meal prepped for the week and it is 1 o'clock. So that's a plus for me. Okay, because I told y'all meal prepping can be a nightmare, especially if you try to wait until the last minute. But I've meal prepped for the day. Church was great this morning. Still not in person. We're actually going to go back in person on the 25th. But until then, I will continue to listen online. And so today, basically, we're going to talk about this is specifically, okay, for Georgia Bulldog fans. I told you guys I'm from Atlanta. I love all college football, right? But I can't, I like that's the only sport besides basketball that I can watch any team in. The NFL, I don't know. I can't. I can only watch the Falcons. And you know what that does to me, okay? So that's depressing in itself. But I rep the home team. It doesn't matter if we 0 and 12, I'ma still watch, or we 12 and 0, okay? But college basketball, WNBA, NBA, I can watch any team, doesn't matter. But I do have my favorites. I rep the home teams. I'm an Atlanta Hawks fan. Atlanta Falcons, Georgia Bulldogs. Don't ever disrespect me and think that I'm a Georgia Tech fan, because no, ma'am, they wish they could be just as good as us. I'm an Atlanta Braves fan. Like, I like when they win, but baseball does something to my spirit. I'm just bored. I don't understand how that's America's favorite sport. I don't get it. And then we have Atlanta United. But I don't watch soccer like at all. So, but good job, guys. But they say it's so lit. Like, if you go to the games and stuff, like soccer, that is just a great atmosphere. I've never been to a hockey game, and I keep saying I wanted to go. But I think the Atlanta Thrashers are gone now. But I did told you guys I did live in Nashville for a while, so the Nashville Predator games, people would always be like, "You want to go to a game?" And I never made my way to it because I was just like, no, I don't think hockey would be fun. But they just said the atmosphere. That's why I go to Atlanta Braves games. Besides the fact my mom makes me go with her whenever I'm home, because of the atmosphere or whatever. It's good. Now, I couldn't tell you what happened in the game. I'd be like, oh, we scored. No, we didn't. But baseball is something else. I'll say that. I think it's too long, and I think that's why I don't like soccer, because you can run like 90 minutes and still have no points. Make that make sense. Like, I need points and more than one, two, three, or four, okay? If I'm running for 90 minutes, because I told y'all I hate running. But today we're gonna specifically talk about Georgia football. Because a lot of the teams, I'm gonna say a lot, but the only ones that I really paid attention to that I saw was that Alabama had their spring game and Georgia had their spring game yesterday. But to all the other teams, if you did have your spring games, I'm not hating. I just didn't know. Okay. But this is specifically about Georgia. We're just going to talk about the spring game and talk about, looking forward to the season. And I hope you guys had a, like I said, I hope you had a great weekend so far and that you can prepare for your week. And we're just going to go ahead and let's get in. All right, so first of all, round of applause to the fact that we actually got a spring game this year. Because I thought Georgia could have been a lot better last year if they had the entire spring to get prepared, because the defense was decent. The offense, that quarterback that left, I can't even remember his name. I think he was from Wake Forest. I'm not even trying to shade him right now. I just can't remember his name. But he transferred to Georgia and he was supposed to be our quarterback. And then he just decided that he wanted to prepare for the NFL, which I'm assuming in his mind, he thought Jamie Newman, that was his name. See, I knew I was gonna remember. I think in his mind, he thought that that season was not going to be played and that he was going to be able to showcase his talent in whatever form of a combine they were going to have, and he was going to be able to raise his stock. But that kind of, I feel like it kind of backfired on him, because they did have a season. There was a championship game. There were conference championships. And I think that hurt. I know it did because now he's like not even in the conversation of the top quarterbacks. I never watched him play before, so I don't even know if he was good or not, right? But he looked like a grown man, I'm gonna say that. But he ended up leaving. And so that kind of put us in a little pickle because of the whole Justin Fields leaving. What's old boy? Jake Fromm left. And this is what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say this real quick. People give Jake Fromm, I mean, not Jake Fromm, people give Justin Fields the hardest time. First of all, he's a child. Okay, he's a kid. Okay, he might be, I don't know, he may or may not be 18 or 19, so he's technically an adult. But you know what I'm saying? Like the people that are like really like getting in on these kids, y'all are like 40, 50 middle-aged men. Chill out. Calm down. Okay? First of all, when I was in sports, now I didn't play football, of course, so I don't know if it's different, but we just didn't transfer like that. And maybe that's like maybe a women's thing on that side. The reason why I initially transferred is just because I wasn't gonna get any clock, and I was told that up front. So I was, you know, happy for the transparency, and then I stayed put. Right? So it's like if I don't think that I would have, I don't know. I'm gonna just say I don't know. But I think on the women's side, it's not as a big deal as it is on the men's side. And I would say it's more a football thing than it is a basketball thing too. There are people that transfer for basketball on both sides, men's and women, men and women. But I think that that's more of a football thing where they want to transfer all the time because football players take a lot of beatings, and I think they all try to leave within that 3 years and not go the whole 4 years. So the reason why Justin Fields left, okay? He left because he cited things of racism, okay? But people were saying, no, that's not true. That didn't happen, da da da. However, a baseball player from Georgia called him the N-word and was kicked off the team. So how can you say that did not happen? That's the part I don't, that's the disconnect there. You're just mad he left. Just say that. Just say that. And it's okay. It's okay. You don't, because he left because of that reason, right? And then you got Jacob Eason that also left. But people always forget about Jacob Eason leaving. Basically, Jake Fromm caused both of them to leave. But everybody else want to talk about Justin Fields. I'm gonna need you to look in your spirit and figure out why that is an issue for you. You can come to whatever conclusion it is that you want to come to about why you are in your feelings about Justin Fields and not Jacob Eason. I won't come to a conclusion for you, Georgia fans, but you can figure that out on your own, okay? Just dig, just it's really, it's not even skin deep. It's really surface, okay? But you figure that out on your own. But anyway, so then there was like this big thing, right? So then Jake Fromm, he had a horrible last year. I mean, his junior year was bad, okay? You know, it is what it is. You can't sugarcoat it. Okay, he's a good guy, whatever. Okay? I'm not dogging the guy, his character, anything like that. But from a statistical standpoint, he was terrible his junior year. And I'm gonna tell you why he was bad. Because a lot of people just were like, oh, he didn't have anybody to throw to. Da, da, da. That wasn't true. Because he would have people wide open and overthrow, underthrow, throw out of bounds. He would do everything other than throw it to them. Okay? What happens to a kid's mental, right? When you have to compete against somebody who is gunning for your spot? Mentally, physically, we perform better. Then take Jacob Eason out. He leaves, goes to Washington. Justin Field, he leaves, he goes to Ohio State. Then that leaves Stetson Bennett a walk-on. Come on now. Am I gonna compete against a walk-on? No, he can't take, he purely can't take my spot from talent alone. Right? So I don't have to work like I need to. And he could have very well gone in practices, he could have worked hard. But there is something that makes you more competitive when somebody is gunning for your spot. And if you have never been an athlete please don't chime in. Please just stay on your couch and keep flipping through the channels. Okay, baby? Because you don't understand. Don't make excuses. It's just, it is what it is. When somebody's coming for your spot, you're going to give all you have, not only in practice, but you're going to show up during games. And I mean, like his, he wasn't very good. His mechanics weren't very good. Like I said, he would overthrow receivers, underthrow them, clean throw the ball out of bounds. I mean, I don't know. That's just what happened. Okay. I don't know if he was going through something outside of football, which that's an excuse. If you are an athlete, if you got stuff going on outside that causes you not to be able to concentrate, you need to cut. That's when you need to grow up and speak to your coach and say, "Coach, I don't need to be on the field because I can't separate my personal life and my professional life." Because believe it or not, college athletes, y'all pretty much professionals because they're paying you thousands and thousands of thousands of dollars to show up, right? So that's your job. So if you can't focus, you don't need to be on the floor, on the field. Period. You don't need to be on the floor, whatever sport, you don't need to be out there. You need to go ahead and let your coach know. Right? So he was bad. Well, the fans were like, "Bruh, you need to leave." Right? And I felt bad for him in that sense because at the end of the day, those people are 40, 50 year old people. You know what I'm saying? Acting like that towards a kid. You know, it's one thing to be like, "Man, I wish you played better." But like, they were like just dogging the kid. You know what I'm saying? Like if it was my kid and these are supposed to be fans, you know what I'm saying? And I look on there and I'm like, "Wait, these are the people supposed to support my son? No, this is not it." And so he declared for the draft. And now he's like a Buffalo Bill, right? And Georgia missed him. Stetson came out. What's the dude's name that started at the beginning of the year? I can't even remember. I'll figure his name out. I'm not even shading him. I just be forgetting. But DeJuan. Yeah. Anyway, he started against Arkansas, right? Because if you don't know, SEC last year only played SEC schedule, right? So he started. And I don't know if he had jitters or what, but in my mind, I was looking, thinking that was our best option that we could put on the field to start. That was what I was thinking. Okay. I didn't say it out loud, but that's what I was thinking. And then I also was thinking, who, Lord, it's going to be a long 2020, right? Because Georgia is my highlight, okay, of supporting my teams. Now, Georgia's not going to lose Saturday, every Saturday in and out like the Falcons will sometimes on Sundays. But Georgia's really going to disappoint me when it counts, okay? But at least, you know, they give me some, you know, they give me something to look forward to, you know, each Saturday. Because it's like, okay, Georgia's probability-wise, they're probably going to win, okay? They can guarantee me at least 9-10 win season, right? Okay? But I was like, we're not going to win a game. But then Stetson Bennett came in, the walk-on. And I was like, okay. Now I could see how that wasn't going to work long-term. But he did his thing. I'm not even hating. I mean, you could tell he was a walk-on, but he worked hard. He worked. Listen, you got a quarterback and you, third and six. And instead of just taking a sack, you run and get tackled. Because, you know, quarterbacks don't like to get tackled. You know, they soft. But, hey, he laid it all out on the line because he didn't have anything to lose. And I thought he did well. Now, against Florida is where it kind of all fell apart. But he started off well. And then I think that other receiver going down, yeah, it just kind of went downhill from there. We shouldn't have lost to Florida. Florida wasn't great to me. It's Florida. I hate Florida. They're not good ever to me, even when they're, like, super good. Now, I will say this. I do hope the Falcons don't fumble the bag, their fourth pick that they get, and I hope we pick up Kyle Pitts. Now, I give Matt Ryan a whole lot of benefits of the doubts, but, baby, I'm going to need you to pull it together. Okay, I love what Matt Ryan does for the city of Atlanta. I like his personality, and it seems like his teammates like him a lot. But it's like, and statistically, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, but we just can't pull it together. So it's like you got Julio, but he stay hurt half the time, right? So hopefully we can get a season where Julio is healthy the whole season, Ridley is healthy the whole season, and we add a Kyle Pitts. And we add some defensive parts, the Falcons might be all right this year. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see. But anyways, I went on my tangent to the Falcons because of Kyle Pitts. Dude was a beast, okay? Now, he got hurt that game because one of our players took him out. But they, he actually got thrown out too, but he was concussed, clearly. He got a targeting call on that play, but it took Pitts out for a minute because I think he gave him a concussion. But we shouldn't have lost that game. But Stetson Bennett, baby, he just went downhill from that game. And then against Alabama, I can't even knock these guys because Alabama is like a whole different like beast. They be like playing against grown men, like somebody's uncles be on the field playing football against a bunch of college kids. But they needed something, but there was nobody there. They ain't have anybody because the other guy, he was like, I'm about to leave. The one guy, Mathis, that's his name, Mathis, his last name. He was getting ready to leave. He was like, I'm about to transfer because y'all ain't giving me no clock. But it's like, baby, you been out because he had like a brain thing. And he was out and then he finally got cleared medically. And it's like, baby, you hadn't even earned your way, baby. Won't you wait a little while, you know? And he wanted to leave and he could have had his chance. But then he knew he wasn't going to have his chance when JT Daniels, who we had transfer out of USC, but he had his knee wasn't quite healed, so he couldn't for real play. And I get it, because his dad, because, you know, Georgia fans are very unrealistic sometimes, right? Like, they don't take into account that these are actually children. Like, that's not what I meant. They don't take account that this is somebody's kid. They don't take into account that some of these kids do want to play at the next level, and that if you rush them back from an injury, that can be a career-ending type deal. But people who sit on the couch and eat chips with their remote that have never played a sport in their life, they don't understand that. They just think it's a coaching thing where they're not going to put in a player. It's like, bruh, I need you to look a little bit deeper, okay? So basically, he wasn't playing because he wasn't ready to play. And even when he did play, you could tell. And like I said, I'm not a football coach, but you can look at somebody and tell when they're favoring something, right? Like when women, like when girls play basketball, they tear their ACL and then they like won't jump on it or land on it for a long time. And most of them end up tearing the other knee up. And it's like, you can't do that. You have to trust that your knee is healthy. But it would change the way he would kind of run and he would like plant and things like that. Because even when he played, he wasn't 100%, but he was definitely further along from when the beginning of the season happened. And he came in and he did his thing and he finished the season undefeated, right? Now, we almost took an L to Cincinnati and that would have been real tragic. But we didn't have anybody because all our players are like, we sitting out for the NFL. We might not get drafted, but we're going to definitely sit out. Which, that is a whole nother podcast topic, right? Like, who tells these kids that they should declare for the draft and they don't even get drafted? That's silly. Why not play 4 years, then build your stock after that? Because, you know what I'm saying, that's the end game. That's it. And then if you go undrafted, okay, I didn't do everything I could. But at least if you stay in another year, you're doing everything you could. But anyway, we'll talk about that one day. So the whole Cincinnati deal, we pretty much won the game off a field goal that was like 53 yards. Okay. And Georgia's, now, I don't know what the deal is. I always think I want to tell my son that he needs to be a kicker and that he can play in the NFL. Because for some reason, especially in the SEC, what is the deal with the kickers? It is like you have to say a whole prayer before these kickers kick these field goals. It's like nobody has a solid field goal kicker. It's like Alabama finally got one. And you know, Alabama is Alabama. And it took them until last season to finally start hitting field goals consistently. Georgia had Hot Rod. He's now an Indianapolis Colt. He finally came in and started hitting field goals. So when we had that 53-yarder, I was like, baby, we about to lose. And, you know, I be trying to have confidence. I do. I be like, we got this. Okay? We're going to hit this field goal. I even talk them up. But in my spirit, I be like, we're not going to kick this. We're not going to hit this field goal. But he did his thing. 53 yards. Hit that. We won. Game over. Right? And then, you know, Cincinnati fans, oh, y'all ain't beat us by a field. But we beat y'all. Okay? And we didn't have a lot of people. So, you pretty much played our second string. Yay for you. So, anyways. So, JT Daniels. Okay? So, now let's fast forward to yesterday. Georgia played their spring game. I'm so glad that they had it. I'm so glad they actually had a spring. So, our offensive coordinator, Munkin, can actually get something going. And the quarterback room is stout. Georgia should be set with quarterbacks for the next 2 years, but they can't mismanage that again and then lose all of them, right? But we'll see. But yesterday, this is what I'm going to say about Georgia. First of all, if you don't know, Georgia's first game this year is against Clemson in Charlotte. Granted, Clemson might not have the same offense, but their defense is still pretty decent, right? So then the question marks that arise from Georgia's game yesterday, and again, it's a spring game, so they don't show you everything they have. But I thought the defense was coming pretty, you know, they were running there. I think that Kirby Smart said that, you know, the things that they were showing defensively wasn't something new. It was what people have already seen with Georgia, so it wasn't some big secret. But I felt like they were bringing some tough pressure. But, you know, Georgia's front defensive line is pretty decent. They're pretty big guys. And so I'm going to kind of take that into the account. But, ooh, our quarterbacks are under a lot of pressure just in the scrimmage, right? So it's like, hopefully, you know, the other team we're playing, that their defensive line isn't that stout. But then you start out with Clemson. It's like, dang, Kirby, we couldn't ease into that. We couldn't play Clemson like game number three to get a game under our belt. But, you know, but the good thing about it is both teams are going to play good teams their very first game. And just to kind of see where they are for the season, it's pretty much going to set the tone for Clemson's season. And it's going to set the tone for Georgia's season. Because really and truly looking at Georgia's schedule, you would think that that would be, besides going to the SEC, typically probably playing Alabama, that that's going to be the toughest game on the schedule. Just at a first glance. And it's the very first game of the year. You win the very first game of the year, then you're looking at the schedule like, okay, we might be able to skate through this year undefeated. You start talking like that, right? Now, will we? Who knows, you know? Because, you know, college kids, one day they show up, one day they just be like, nah, I ain't going to do that today. You know what I'm saying? But, like, Clemson, Georgia's offensive line, that is a question mark for me. I thought JT Daniels started off, I wouldn't even say he started off slow. People were saying that he started off slow yesterday because he wasn't throwing big, long throws or whatever, but like he was completing all his short throws or whatever. Like, I mean, you're not throwing the ball 40, 50 yards, but you know what I'm saying? These little 6 yards, 7 yards here, 10 yards here, you know what I'm saying? We moving up the field. That's what we needed to do, right? Because last year we were getting stalled out. And then I'm real confused on the Jake Camarda thing, right? Jake Camarda is Georgia's punter, okay? He's really good. I don't know, because he was with the ones. Somebody reach in my inbox and tell me what that was about. He missed 3 field goals yesterday, baby. I'm going to need you to go ahead and keep punting, okay? That's where you need to stay. Hot Pod, Podlinski, he was the kicker for the second team. But I think the thought process was to give Jake Camarda reps, so I'm assuming he would be the backup field goal kicker. I hope not. Baby, just keep punting, baby. Keep punting. We couldn't even get on the scoreboard because he missed two field goals right at the beginning, right? So then JT started to warm up, and then we started throwing bombs. Okay. So defensively, I've been learning a lot about football. Georgia's biggest question mark, besides the offensive line, because the offensive line is decent. They're just young guys, right? I think they said collectively between all of the guys that were on there, they had like one start last year. So you see what I'm saying? They're a little inexperienced. And the only way you get experience is by reps. You know what I'm saying? So I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. So that offensive line front is very young and inexperienced. So, but the other question mark, right, was the Georgia cornerbacks, okay? A couple of them fell down and gave up big plays, like touchdowns, and then one Darnell Washington caught, and he pretty much almost scored. I mean, that's a big dude. He's like 6'7". But there's a question mark there. There's a question mark there with their consistencies, because you can't fall down against Alabama because they're going to score a touchdown every single time. Giving up a lot of the slants on 3rd and 8. Like, that is so annoying to be 3rd and 8, 3rd and 12, and then they give up a catch. That is the first thing that will burn me up, okay? But that's pretty much where those question marks are. Now, if I gave grades on the day, okay, if we had to step on the field today and I had to give you a grade, I'm going to give Georgia's quarterbacks, Georgia's wide receivers, and Georgia's tight ends, I'm going to give you guys an A+. I think the quarterbacks are legit. I think the backup guy, Beck, he's young, but he'll get there. Because inevitably that's the future of Georgia, right? Those quarterbacks that came in after that, and then you got Gunnar Stockton coming in after that. So that's the future there, right? So they're pretty stout. The wide receivers, this is the thing. Georgia, we were scoring and looked really good, and they were wide open without our best 4 guys, really, because they were out. Because some of them were healed, but it was like, we're not about to risk injury because they're not 100%, so they sat out. So the wide receivers, the offense is gonna look nice. We just need to get that offensive line. I had to give y'all a B minus. I'm gonna give you a B minus. I'm not gonna give you a C, because I think just with more reps, you can at least get to a A. But I'm gonna need you not to be at a B minus by the time we play Clemson. By the time we play Clemson, you need to at least be at a B. Okay, A minus. A minus B. You need to be around. You need to hover around in there. Okay. Defense. I'll give the defense a B+. They didn't really pressure them a ton. But when they did bring pressure, they got sacks. That front group is good. Like I said, the cornerbacks is why they can't be A. Smith as the safety, he did pretty well. Seam played well defensively. He got an interception. There was another guy, number 47. I think they said his last name was Hall. He's a new kid. He's a transfer from somewhere. He looked pretty good. He got a huge interception, and he's low-key fast. Arian Smith, I want to see what he can do with JT Daniels as his quarterback, because that dude is fast, but but I want to see what Arian Smith can do with JT Daniels, because I just think Beck was overthrowing him a little bit, and dude's fast, right? So I want to see what he would do with JT Daniels. But overall, I'm looking forward to Georgia's season and what we can do. I hope those guys, you know, I don't know as far as, because they do have the spring, I'm assuming that those kids go home. That they don't do anything crazy, getting injured, doing silly stuff, and that they actually, you know, work out, maintain their fitness levels. I know some kids do summer school, so they just kind of stay at Georgia all the time and work out and get reps in and things like that. But they really need to take this summer to get better so they are booming by the fall, right? But if those are my numbers now for Georgia, we might be all right. Now, I've never, like, I hate when they start Georgia ranked really high because that's like a mind boop for us. But I don't know. I think Georgia and Alabama will be in the SEC championship game. I did watch a little bit of Alabama's spring game, and Nick Saban in his suit cracks me up every year. But they definitely look a little different than last year. I don't think that they're as good as they were last year by any means, but I do think they are still good. But we're going to see. But and a lot of people have Mississippi State ranked fairly high. So I want to see what Mr. Leach is going to do down there this year. So it's a lot, you know. And Texas A&M, they weren't bad last year. I don't know. The SEC might, you know, the SEC West is always good. You know, Florida, I don't really see why Florida should be bad. Tennessee is a show right now. I don't know. I don't know what they have going on. I know they had some guys leave, but then they got some guys. They got a coach. I don't know. Vanderbilt is always going Vanderbilt, okay? I just want them to go back to – I don't even think they've ever had glory days. Vanderbilt does not need to be in the SEC. First of all, we need to get rid of this SEC East and West. I get the point of it because of the SEC championship game, but guys, God bless America. Some of them teams in the East is like a joke, right? It's literally Florida, Georgia every year. It's like either Florida is going to be at the top or Georgia is going to be at the top. Most recently, Georgia has always been at the top. And now, I mean, well, you know, most recently, Georgia has been at the top. But then there was, you know, glory days of Florida when they were at the top, Tebow era and stuff like that. And then last year, Georgia fumbled the bag with Florida, and head-to-head, that's why Georgia got the second place. And then Florida throwing the shoe, that was absolutely insane. insane. That was just crazy. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Georgia's year, and the coaching staff is really good. Like, I know a lot of people don't like Will Muschamp, but I like him. I think he's a good dude. I like what he tries to do. I don't know, maybe he's not a head coach. Maybe. I don't know. Some people are just really good. Like, I think I'm a really, really good assistant coach. I'm a good head coach. But there are certain things when you're a head coach that you have to have your hands into that might not be in your personality. So I don't know. Maybe he's just not a good head coach. But I think at the same time, though, you got to have talent, which means you got to be able to recruit, which means you got to be able to get a good staff. Okay. Because, you know, I'm all about assistants are just as, you know, you're only as good as your assistant coaches are, right? And I will always stand behind that. But Georgia has a pretty good coaching staff. I'm really looking forward to the season. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm hyped. I'm ready for football season, period. And I'm going to try to, I don't know. I might have to wait another year because, you know, Rona is real. And Georgia being at 25% capacity in their stadium is thousands and thousands of people. So that's not realistic for me in my mind until we figure out what's going on with this variant. And, you know, that majority of people are getting vaccinated because, you know, coronavirus is very serious. And these crowds for fall games and stuff like that can definitely cause a little super spreader if people don't want to wear masks when they come in there before they sit together as they're, you know what I'm saying, with people they came with. But anyways, I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. I'm definitely looking forward to football season. I'm just looking forward to see what we're going to do. I just want to celebrate a championship in my lifetime. I was so close. So close. And we gave up 30-22. I don't want to talk about it. but I hope everybody has a... I haven't decided what we're going to talk about next week. We might... I know I've been sporting you guys to death lately, but I love sports, okay? But I'm going to try to switch it up and maybe do like a hot topic or something like that. We'll figure that out on Thursday. But I hope you guys have a great week. Stay safe, stay blessed, and I'll see you guys on Thursday.